This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Bruins general manager Don Sweeney speaking earlier today in his press conference. Bruins had to push their practice back a little bit, all because of Scoops Keefe. Scoops Keefe, a force of nature. As the Bruins practice for the first time, as Joe Sacco is the head coach, Sweeney addressing the media, saying that it all rests with him now. I think it's partially true. Rests with the players, too. And Keefe had another scoop-ish, I guess, saying that the next step here is that they're going to change the roster if things don't improve. And when you talk about things improving, I think that there's sort of two edges to that coin, too, or two sides to that coin. I was about to say two edges to the sword, but two sides to that coin, too, because if things do suddenly start getting better, then all of this stuff about how much they love Monty and how they let Monty down and blah, 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 that all kind of flies out the window, doesn't it? I mean, you're the same team, mostly the same team as last year with a couple of additions, and you couldn't get out of your own way. Like, really, you couldn't do anything right. You couldn't score. You couldn't score on the power play. Your penalty kill was bad. Special teams were bad in general. Defensive zone play was bottom of the barrel, and the goaltending's been about as bad as there is in the league right now. You're at the bottom of so many stats, or at least in the bottom end of all these league-wide stats, that you just sort of, you think like, all right, well, you come back out and you win five in a row or whatever happens with Joe Sacco, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, where was this? Where was this with Monty? What was the problem with him?
Well, some of it I think you could just, if that happens, you could just chalk up to human nature, complacency, yep, comfort, whatever, right? Like everybody says once you get too comfortable in anything, that probably means you've peaked or you've topped out or whatever. An example I would use, I always go back to it, but Tom Brady jump-started the Patriots.
Yep.
I don't believe players hated Drew Bledsoe or didn't like Drew or weren't playing hard for Drew.
Right. Yeah, they loved Drew Bledsoe.
But everything got better when Brady played.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the coaching was the same, right? Like, and obviously he made different plays, but there was talk then of just things felt different. They had grown complacent. They had grown, oh, we'll just let Drew make throws. Like, we'll just let Drew hit. You know what I mean? There was like a reliance on Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can happen with a coach. You can like a coach. You can still also be tuning him out, right? Like, because you've heard him say the same thing for 2+ years, you can tune him out. It's why some of these coaches in various sports say you lose X% of the locker room each year or whatever, just because that whatever, people change, they have issues at home, they look at you differently, hierarchies change within teams. For a million reasons, I think you could honestly like Montgomery and honestly get a wake-up call when he's gone and play differently. Like, I don't think it's some people will probably receive it. If they go on a 5 or 6 game winning streak right here, receive it as some sort of
Monty was the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And he may be.
That's how I'll look at it. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, I like him, but I think that's how you have to look at it.
Could he be the problem without being disliked?
Yes. Yes.
I feel
like too much of a player's coach sometimes.
That's what I think is happening. I think they grew too comfortable.
Pete Carroll.
Like, I keep going back to, you showed up out of shape. That's disrespectful. You knew your coach didn't have a contract. So, like, that's a step towards running him out of town. That's being disrespectful on a big level, but also on a micro level. He's looking for a contract.
Mm-hmm.
The first few games of the season are being used as some measuring stick for his value. And you show up out of shape?
Yeah.
That's a bad look.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think at this point, we'll see what happens. If they turn it around, then all bets are off. If they don't, it's time to start really looking at this franchise organization in general. And I opened the show sort of talking about this. This is a team that has historically been very pleased with itself, no matter what kind of failure they've had at the end of the season, no matter how bad they've been let down. They come back the next year, they run it back, they got their old players up there in positions of power in the front office. They keep guys around, nobody ever leaves. You know, you got Bergeron and Tuca now, they're on the Nesson broadcast with Razor, and it just seems like there's this ecosystem that is generally reserved for the dynasties of the world, you know, like the Blackhawks even, and some of these other teams that have really had great runs and won multiple Stanley Cups and just, you know, multiple MVPs and guys like that. Like, I understand when teams do it under those circumstances. The Bruins are doing it having won one Stanley Cup 13 years ago. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe this is the opportunity to break away from that and start fresh. And it's not going to happen this year, obviously. Joe Sacco is another one of those guys. He's been on the bench for 12 years, so it's not going to be him. But when you get to this offseason and you have a chance to really reset things, and I'm also assuming that Keefe was right and that they are going to make changes, maybe wholesale changes, to this roster. Now, there's guys with no movement clauses, and you're not going to just easily move on from them or anything. But when you know what I mean? Like, it's very insular, almost kind of incestuous. There's always been this kind of idea, we're the Boston Bruins, and we're going to keep it all in-house, and we're going to make sure that everybody that we have here working on this team is someone that we know. It's kind of like the Patriots this year, but to a lesser extent, because the Patriots had 20 years of success. But with the Bruins, they had 1 year of success, and a bunch of other years where they flamed out in the first round, or they got beat by the Blues in the finals, or whatever it is. You know, like, I think that for the Bruins, there were a lot of windows that closed for Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, etc. And now that they're all closed, for the most part, Marchand's still playing, but most of them are closed. And I wonder if now is the time to sort of restart. You don't want to hear that, and I know the Jacobs certainly don't want to hear that, because they're all about getting to the playoffs. And really, that's all they're all about, is just, you know, make sure you're competitive and people want to come and watch this team in the regular season. Let's get at least one or two rounds out of the playoffs, and then we'll all call it a day. If we don't win, we don't win. Big deal. And I think that there's a chance to break out of that cycle. It's not going to be pretty, and I think that Bruins fans have sort of grown accustomed to seeing a certain product every year, but you're not seeing it this year, and that's why the coach got fired. And I wonder if this is going to be a full factory reset or not.
And you're not a playoff team right now.
Right.
Despite what McAvoy said, you're not a playoff team.
Nope.
You are close.
You have the same amount of points as the Islanders, but you're not. That's true.
You're not a playoff team, and I just looked it up. Seven times since 67, they've missed the playoffs. Seven times.
Wow.
That's it.
Damn.
And I think that's what opens eyes, because I think you're right. I think to some degree this happened in Foxborough. You bring up the Patriots. When you're winning, competing, like, there's just this presumption and assumption of who we are, what we do, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to some people down there after Bill was let go and they were transitioning to Mayo, it was like people didn't necessarily look at things with eyes wide open.
Yeah.
And how far the organization had fallen behind in some areas, because Bill's still there. Bill will fix it. Bill runs all. And I think it's the same with the Bruins. You can be as angry as you want, but if you make the playoffs, it's like, well, we made the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're a good team. Right.
Right now, you're not a playoff team. And if you miss the playoffs, that's where I think that matters as much as almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a little bump here, and Sweeney apparently thinks a bump is automatic here. I don't know if that's true or not, if you automatically get a bump just because you bump Sacco up. But if you miss the playoffs, I think that's where those hard conversations are had at the end of the year. The looks are a little closer, because I think that's what matters. Like, I joked about the Nesson apps.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're losing some. That you have to.
I'd imagine, yeah.
I don't know how you can really say, this is worth $30 a month for me to watch these games. It's unwatchable.
Yeah.
So if you're losing some of those,
you cancel and you start back up in the Red Sox season.
Absolutely.
And then you cancel that in August when they fall apart,
absolutely,
too. Right. Same thing.
But if those numbers
vicious cycle
start to cross Jacob's desk, and then they don't make the postseason, so therefore you lose out on the gate of a postseason. And as you said, they've seemed fine losing postseason series.
Yeah.
I don't think they're fine missing postseason.
They're not.
And they haven't done it very often over the last four decades. If that happens, I think that would be the impetus for wholesale changes.
Yeah. Before we get to behind the glass, let's take a call or two. Adams and Lowell, go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
I was at
the game Monday. They are really lacking physicality, speed, and they really need to be on a unit, and that's one thing I changed. And I also say, why didn't Cam Neely come behind that bench and light a little fire, you know, and finish the season with Neely behind the bench? I'll leave you boys with that. Take care.
All right. Thanks for the call, Adam. That's sort of exactly what I was talking about. You know, that Cam Neely's going to come down and be the coach now? Like, come on.
No, silly. It's Bergeron.
Yeah, right. Patrice Bergeron's going to be the coach. Dave is in Natick. Go ahead, Dave.
Dave!
Oh, Dave.
You're going left or right?
All right, bye, Dave. Let's go behind the glass with Stish.
I said, Dave, Stiz, is anyone listening?
Nope. Pretty much no. All right, here we go. Big Mike is in the room right now as we go behind the glass. It is a What If Wednesday.
That's right. What If Wednesday.
And we are picking our What Ifs. Andy's got his. Thank you, Mike.
So whoever goes first, the other person, don't open it up until it's your turn to
okay,
go.
Okay, well, he's already opened his, so
of course
ahead.
He did. Right. Like a child.
I know. He's like, ooh.
I take that as a compliment.
Same
I'm youthful.
Same size.
I do not take that as a compliment.
It was not. What do you got there?
What if Robert Kraft let Bill coach the Pats until he was ready to retire? Is this Stiz's handwriting?
No.
Well, if he had kept Bill around this year, I think you don't have Drake May. I think that there would have been some sort of compromise at quarterback, maybe some veteran free agent or something, or maybe even someone like, you know, bringing back a Jarrett Stidham type or a guy like that. I hate
Jimmy.
Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. I mean, someone, it would probably have to be someone that Bill was familiar with.
Of course.
You know, like, I know he brought in Cam Newton, but that was at the very end. I think that he would have continued to show, I don't know, contempt, but maybe not the right word, but lack of attention to the offense. I'm not sure what would have happened with the offense and who the offensive coordinator would have been this year. O'Brien still, I think, would have gone to BC. And I think that in general, it would have been a miserable season. I think that if he was still the coach here, you would be looking at a long, slow trudge to 18 game, whatever wins he needs to pass Don Shula. And I think that would have really, in some ways, I know there's still a lot of Belichick loyalists like Stiz back there, but there were a lot of people who were all done with him too. And I think that would have hurt ticket sales. I think that in general, people would have been kind of over the idea of making Sunday's appointment watching, especially if you passed on the potential franchise quarterback. That's a big reason why you're getting people in those seats.
Yep.
You know, if you didn't have Drake May here and it was just Brissett all season long, let's assume Belichick has Brissett as the starting quarterback and that's who he decides to play all year long with someone like Stidham or whatever as a backup. People would stop coming to Gillette. I mean, I think it would. I could get to that point. And listen, the defense, the run defense would probably be a little better. You might steal a game or two because of that. But I think you're talking single-digit wins on the low end and a long trudge to that record, which, I mean, it might take them 4 or 5 years to get to. So we're talking about a 77-year-old head coach finally being able to celebrate that he beat Don Shula after several seasons of sucking. I mean, yeah, that's basically it. You get some high draft picks, I guess, and maybe that would turn things around. But yeah, in general, I think for this year, it would have been awful. It would have been awful if Bill was there.
Can you guys remind someone like me again why you guys are both so confident that Bill would never take Drake May?
Because he said that he didn't like Drake May.
Yeah. I don't know if he said that.
In
he
the
just
draft,
wasn't like gushing over
he didn't like anything
didn't
about him.
Next him. He didn't like call him the next Tom Brady.
He didn't like anything about
see.
Him.
He said he didn't like
he
his game.
Him.
He ripped him pretty
he
hard.
He critiqued
yeah.
like missed
He'd
throws. Like, yeah. You got to make the throw here. It's not going to get more open than this in the NFL, and you didn't make this throw. He was shredding him. I would say one word if Bill had stuck around, and it was the same word I used Friday night around midnight. Sad. I think it would have been a sad petering out of his career, because if you remember, it's not just winning and losing. He started to do and say dumb things. Mm. Like, the whole comment about why fans should get excited or whatever or have faith in you, I don't know, last 25 years. Like, he started touting his own resume. He started doing things that Bill Belichick, the real Bill Belichick, would never have done.
Yeah, we had 20 years of success, that stuff, yeah.
All of that stuff started to creep up. So his draft picks were bad. His results on the field were bad. The things he was saying in press conferences were growing dumber. Some of the dumbest things he said were in the last couple of years. The roster of coaches and people he surrounded himself with was bad. It would have been a sad finish. They ripped the Band-Aid off. You're right. It would have been 3 or 4 wins a year until we achieve 18 or whatever the hell he needed.
Yeah.
That would have been the saddest thing. It would have been like Tyson, keep fighting.
Yeah.
Tyson having a rematch in 6 months.
Keep going out there, right.
Like, no.
Like you have a gambling debt or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like
awful.
Something like
would
that.
Would have been sad.
This is what he said. Just as you asked, because you asked. Here's what he said about Drake May.
I got the audio if you want, but if you
Well, if you already have it, I was only going to read it for you. Because
you're the only one who needed to hear it. You're the only one who needs to be taught a lesson.
Let's all hear what he started out with.
Okay.
Well, again, a very talented kid.
Very talented, he said.
Wait, okay, you want to play the rest of it or what?
No, I don't.
He said, I think his inexperience showed up in the preseason as it did at North Carolina. I think he needs a lot of seasoning in terms of reading coverage, overall throwing mechanics, and consistency. Is he a big, fast athlete? Yeah. But I think it's going to take more than that to be ready to play quarterback in the NFL. Come on. That's not a guy who's going to draft.
No.
He never drafts guys like that. Come on.
Good size, runs well.
All right.
You would have traded down and taken a lineman or something. It would have been not fun, and we would have ripped it.
Okay. Andy Hart. What if,
can I answer this one? Like, is this going to be one I can actually answer, not like last week when it was about
the
rap game or something?
It was about Tupac and Biggie. It wasn't like some obscure rappers or anything. Andy Hart, what if social media was never invented?
Oh, my God. My life would be so much better. Oh, everyone would be so much better off. You wouldn't live in a world where every stinking person is just staring at their stupid screen. I've said it for years. If you ever gave me the Thanos power to snap my fingers and do anything, I'd get rid of these stupid smartphones with social media on them that I have to look. You go to dinner with your freaking family and everybody's on their phone. You look around the restaurant. Everybody's on their phone. The world would be a better place. Mental health would be in a better place. Now, we'd be slightly less entertained.
We'd find some other thing that would mess up our mental health.
We wouldn't have got the Adam Schefter sex story today if it wasn't for social media.
Yeah, we would have. Old school. It would have been a little slower.
You would have got it 3 weeks from now.
He would have done it on a radio show somewhere. We would have heard about it. It would have bounced around or something. Life would have slowed down for the better. We don't need everything immediately at our fingertips with social media because you know what that is? That's misinformation. That's fake news. That's ruined this country politically, socially, economically, and morally.
Alternative facts.
I was in college when Facebook came out, so I was like one of the first, you know, Facebook people. It was called The Facebook back then. And it was great because at the time, it was The Facebook. And it was it's all about reconnecting with people from your past. You know, everybody signed up at the same time. You would search names of people you went to school with in like fifth grade and whatever. And all of a sudden you had all these reconnections and everything. And it was really great. And to see what it's turned into over the last 20 years is just, I mean, it's remarkable how bad it is now.
Twitter
really,
is an absolute cesspool.
Twitter sucks.
I will say that.
The only one that was really good was MySpace. MySpace was cool. You had a song play when you popped up. You had your top eight friends.
Your top eight friends.
It was great. Yeah, y'all learned how to like write code and stuff, you know, to get the pictures and thing. I didn't. You know how my
HTML.
You know people always say learn to code. You know when your job's not going right. Like that's MySpace is the only coding I ever learned, and it was putting like Outkast songs on my MySpace profile. That's basically what it was all about. MySpace was cool, and there also wasn't it closed down obviously, but there wasn't like misinformation and crap all the time. Now it's just everywhere you look. Social media sucks. I agree with you. Now it's
probably hurts us too.
Yeah.
Right. It changed everything. Everybody knows everything immediately.
I know.
Like, there's no real news. Like, you're not waiting the next
day. It's true. But in terms of, like, things to listen to or to watch or whatever, there's for live radio, I mean, there's not live talk radio, breaking news and smart immediate reaction and things like that. You can watch someone's video. But there's nothing like a four-hour show talking about it. You know,
sure.
Like, that's something very unique that they haven't quite wiped out with social media yet. You know what I mean?
No, I agree, but
we're still valuable, damn it.
Oh, I agree.
We still provide a service.
In the old days, it was like the reporters would all talk to the players on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, and then that night's news would run it, and we'd probably use that audio the next day from the nightly news kind of thing, or the stringers. Your boy, Cuddy, that you were talking about yesterday, who was wrong yesterday.
Well, apparently, I heard this from some other people. An email went out from the Bruins. Saying there's going to be practice tomorrow, Monty's going to be talking after practice, and then they fired him like three hours later.
I'm telling you.
So it was after the email went out. I haven't seen this email, but I've heard people talking about it.
I believe more and more that Scoops Keefe scooped everybody.
I think so.
Not just reporters. He scooped everybody.
He threw a wrench in the operation.
What a reporter.
Absolutely.
Adam Schefter, Scoops Keefe. I mean, you know, basically.
Same
thing.
What did we call him? A robot? Information robot?
Information robot. And he took it as a compliment, which.
He did.
You know, I
think
that was pretty good. All right, there you go. That is today's edition of What If Wednesday.
I like it. This is a keeper.
We will come back with odds and ends. Jay Leno, friend of the station. Wild story with Jay Leno. We'll get to that next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.